Milo's Money Days are here, and we're making it rain for rewards members. For the first time ever, when you make a purchase of $200 or more through July 12th, you'll get up to $30 back in extra Milo's money. Not a member yet? Join for free today, because members get more at Lowe's. Milo's Money Award varies based on status. Members in gold get 30, silver get 20, and bronze get 10. Milo's Money valid for 30 days. Restrictions and more terms at Lowe's.com/Milo's Money Days.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Nate Land Podcast.
This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details. Brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card. With Saver, you earn unlimited 3% cash back on dining, entertainment, and at grocery stores. That's unlimited cash back on ordering takeout from home, or unlimited cash back on tickets to concerts and games. So grab a bite, grab a seat, and earn unlimited 3% cash back with the Saver Card. Capital One. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Let's go, folks. Welcome to the Nate Land Podcast. If you're watching this, I'm somewhere. Spokane. We got Aaron Weber, Brian Bates, and the back to beautiful Greg Warren.
Hey, guys.
Thanks for coming back. People are surprised you're back. They hated your episode. And yeah. It's a shock. They go, how dare you've been canceled. What if you go out and get canceled?
Yeah, what was it you said that got
like,
got
what
you
if
canceled?
You go get canceled? And because we're taping this right after we taped that other one. But what happens if you get canceled? Do we just blur you out?
You guys won't do that, will you?
Maybe. Yeah. Change your voice? Like one of those, like,
Hired me.
Yeah, it's all your jokes. We got to take his name out. But it's like, yeah, that'd be hilarious. The guy, he goes, I don't want to be on tape. And they go, yeah, absolutely, dude. He goes, all right, well, the other day I was going, my name is Nate Bargatze, by the way. And the other day, near my house, I live over by, and you're like, well, dude, but let us just show you then, if you're just doing your name.
I kind of like that voice. I think that would be better for me.
He does voices.
He does voices.
Missouri. Yeah, you know. Yeah.
Wait, I don't know.
Missouri or Missouri.
Yeah.
Something like that.
He does Stanley from The Office.
Nah. Oh, yeah. It comes every now and then.
Yeah. He's a voice guy.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's my whole act.
Yeah. Because he has to.
I do a lot of stuff with the stool, and do voices.
He does voices because he has to. The jokes are what they are.
I started with as a voice guy.
Yeah. Who are you looking at, Greg?
I don't know, man.
Aaron Land? Are you on Aaron Land right
Welcome
now?
Welcome to Aaron Land, everybody. Yeah. With my guest to the guest today. Oh,
There's a lot of posters and stuff back there.
Yeah. I believe you're on.
Yeah, my name is on one of those. Yeah.
Right there. CNC Comic Stage. Yeah. My first TV credit. Greg Warren.
Yeah, I remember that.
And y'all thought I worked for CMT. I remember that.
Did we?
Everybody did. Cause I was like, I mean, I was no, I didn't, y'all knew each other and, from Bob and Tom, a lot of Bob and Tom guys. And then, no one knew me. And they thought, I remember one point someone goes, oh, I thought you worked for CMT. Like, and I was just hanging out with the comics. So it was very funny. And,
CMT guys got a pretty good act.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I'm not going to be honest with you. It's not bad. You
go. One guy was like, it's about what I expected.
Yeah. He goes, well, that's what you get when you work for your day job is this. So here we are this week. We got Greg back. Hey, well, you need to look up because we say we're going to do it for things with the bio. You need to type your
bio. Oh, that's right. I'll set that up.
Let's start off with you guys, hearing from you guys. Angie. I love, we don't make you smart, we make you happy, as Nate Land's new slogan.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
you
mentioned that last week on the books episode, or 2 weeks ago on the books episode.
Yeah, I heard some of that, man.
Yeah. You said, that's what we do.
Trying to get through it, Greg.
Honestly, you guys,
5 minutes
it's hard.
I listened to one where you had Vecchione in there. I was listening on the way here. I was driving from Myrtle Beach, and It was really good. And I was like, ah, man, I don't want to hear any more of this. I'm not going to be this funny. You know?
No, I know. I get it. So you don't want to hear. It's better to like know, to have like your honest reactions to like whatever. I think for being funny, like when you go do radio shows, if you go do anything, you're like, I just need to be funny. Like in my, if I know too much, you try to plan too much.
Yeah.
And then it can be not funny. I get it. So I don't, what was it?
You just, someone last week or in the books episode, but Justin commented about how they love the fact that you guys are, we lean into our ignorance and we don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And you said, that's right. We don't want to make you smart. We make you happy.
Oh.
And then.
That is that. That's not a bad slogan.
Yeah.
Oh. Thanks, Angie. I would have forgot it completely. So I truly would have. So that's not a bad, we don't make you smart. We make you happy.
You forgetting it would be on brand.
Yeah. It goes. She, that's what Angie would say. She goes, oh, we don't make you smart, we make you happy. What are you coming after? How do you
get defensive?
Get off, Angie? She's like, no, you said it. I go, did I? That's it.
I've got the bio whenever you're ready, Nate.
All right. This is Aaron Weber's AI bio. Are you willing to put it up on your website?
I'll put it on my website right now.
Okay. Well, don't do it now, but it's probably a whole thing, right?
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Okay.
But I've got
you just check out of the podcast.
Do we want to read it or
a good 40 minutes here over there doing some web work?
Just programming.
I remember building websites when I was in New York, like when websites were starting to become the thing, when MySpace was real.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the website thing, I forget what it was called, you could build your own for free.
Oh, yeah.
And then I remember making mine. And Kix or something?
Wix.
And then, so I remember doing it. I remember being very fun, but I remember starting it, and then the next thing you know, it is 5-6 in the morning.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I don't even know what happened.
You can do that.
You're just like, and you're in the same spot that you were in, and you're like, I spent all night.
You made the background blue.
Yeah. It took so long. So that's, do you want me to read it, or do you?
Yeah, you can read it. I think it'd be fun if you read it. All right.
Aaron Weber is a Southern stand-up comedian who's a co-host of the Nateland podcast. He's originally from New Orleans, Louisiana. He started performing stand-up comedy in high school and at college open mics. After college, he moved to Los Angeles to pursue a career in comedy. He's appeared on the CW in Channel 4.5. He's also a regular at the Comedy Store in Hollywood. Aaron is a high-energy performer with a knack for writing clever jokes. He's a relatable comic who talks about his life and observations in a way that's relatable and entertaining. He's a rising star in the comedy world and is someone to watch out for in the future. I like it.
Sounds about right. I just changed New Orleans to Montgomery, Alabama, and then we're all set.
Yeah, I would probably change to New Orleans.
The Comedy Store.
Comedy Store, yeah, I'll just leave that.
No, leave that.
Yeah, that sounds good.
You got to leave everything else. I would say do that. You don't want to be getting emails about...
Yeah.
You a New Orleans comic?
Yeah.
Come talk about Mardi Gras. And you're like, well, I'm not. I'm not from there. I beg to differ. The AI.
People pointed out when you read the last one how you just nailed it. And you just did it again. When you read this,
I'm a like, good AI guy. I should be sent to talk to the AI.
You could be the liaison from the human race.
I got him. I go over to him. I go, hello. And I tell them they're coming after you. All right. This is a good bio.
That's wild.
What'd you do on 4.5?
That's the show that we did together. Dude. The
Circle Network.
Circle Network.
Oh, I was on that too, wasn't I?
Yeah.
You were one of the hosts.
I had no idea what that is.
Yeah.
You were the faces of it.
You're the reason you got.
That was a genuine question.
It was the reason you got picked up. They go, well, we got Greg Warren. And they go, all right, I guess we'll do it.
I was genuinely thinking it was a made-up thing.
Yeah.
Right. What were you on in CW? Oh, that comedy.
Howie Mandel.
Yeah.
COVID special.
And Channel 4.5.
Yeah.
Not all the way. He's like, oh, so he was on two channels? You go, no. He was in the middle of two channels.
He goes, stuck.
Yeah. It's you're not good enough to be on 4 or 5. But I am good enough to be on that channel in the middle. And you got to have a special kind of TV to watch that channel.
You do.
All static.
Yeah.
You do have to, yeah.
It's funny that it's like still the idea of trying to make it like TV. I mean, their audience is just... I think it's like everybody watching is 80 or above or something. Like it's like they're not even.
Yeah, my mom's the only one I know who got it. Yeah, could actually see it, and her friend Gail, the one who has the smartphone, called her. She saw it too.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Wow, so, Gail, this.
Gail's nailing it.
But what does Gail do? She drives like a Prius or something.
No, she has to be home. She doesn't drive at night, so.
Oh.
So in the wintertime, she can't go to night church because it gets too dark outside.
Oh.
Oh, but this time of year, she's killing it because the days are so late.
It feels like there should be some kind of service or something.
Yeah, they should do something for that.
Yeah.
Why are you going against Gail? Gail can't go. The church should adapt to that. I mean, is the church not? Yeah, does the church not see like no one coming? And you're like, all these people don't want to drive at night.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a huge amount, but Gail doesn't see well at night.
Yeah, a lot of older people. That's what happens.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know. I'll work on it.
Church should adapt to it.
Yeah.
David Stadelman Jr. David Stadelman Jr. As a disabled combat vet with deployments to Afghanistan and Iraq, I think I speak for all service members when I thank Nate for not joining. Not because I don't think he'd be a good soldier, but we don't necessarily need someone wondering how rain and clouds work in the middle of a hostile situation. We do, however, need your personality and humor more as an outlet after tough situations. Thank you for your years of entertainment and a way to let go of some of the darkness so many of us deal with. And for the record, I'd gladly serve alongside you. Keep up the awesome work. Thank you, David.
It's very nice.
That's very nice. Yeah, that's very, awesome. Very, it means a lot. Still going to join, David. Come in. Me and you, buddy. We'll be riding around. You're like, I think he's over there. I'm like, what is over there?
I did hear on the episode that you went with Scott Kennedy.
Yes.
I went with him to Iraq.
Yeah.
That was, I think I laughed the hardest I've ever laughed in my life during that week, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, just some of the crazy stuff we got.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. That was, yeah. You don't have to live over there, it's a pretty good time. And they're, that was always the hard part. They're like, thank you for coming. And you're like, no, dude, you have to stay here.
Yeah. I'm heading home.
I saw it, and that's what you do is real. Tori Dixon. Hi, Nate. My husband David is a huge fan. We went to your show at the Palace Theater in downtown L.A. He's also one of the helicopter police officers that flew over you so many times at Universal while you're filming your special. I think he feels like he was a special part of that show. Is that? That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So, Greg, I do comedy for a living.
Oh, yeah.
And in my special, they had helicopters fly over. It just happened. There was a police chase. That's unreal, dude.
Wow.
And so it was in my special. And so I had to talk about it because it was happening so much.
Really?
And so during the special, it's like all these helicopters flying. And we just addressed it and kept making jokes. And so we found out later it was a police chase. And it's unreal.
This guy?
That this is the guy, and he's one of the helicopter police officers. Well, hey, Tori, why don't you ask your husband, where does he get off? Where?
Calls himself a fan.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought you were a fan, David.
Supposedly it's a town that knows something about respecting show business.
Yeah. Right.
I believe it says, I'm a huge fan. Well, David, what the matter with you? That's unreal, dude. We need to know when he's at an LA or
I think,
comes to another show.
You got a San Diego show coming up?
The fair.
I think he's coming to that.
I'm doing that with Leanne Morgan. San Diego fair.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. First fair. I've ever done.
That's really? A great show. I mean, she's
right
a...
after it's Bearded Lady, me, they're weighing pigs. So that's going to be the Bearded Lady comes out. I do, me and Leanne do a hot 30, 40 hour. I don't know, whatever it is. And then they weigh the pigs.
That's a great show, man.
Yeah. We have to do it on the scale. So the whole time it just fluctuates between 197, 180. Leanne's not happy about it, but you got to do it. I imagine you had to do a show on a scale. And you're up there. I mean, you couldn't even do, you know, you're trying to do no like fat jokes and someone's reading the scale and they're like, I mean, it says 450. Like, they can't get over that.
Yeah, there would be a guy that locked in on it and just wouldn't.
Yeah.
All right, man. Yeah. It does say 450. Can we just move on? Can we just?
It's a lot.
Yeah, man. But it's 450. But it's,
I can't wrap my. I just can't get over it.
I know, man. But I got to get through this show. I mean, I've admitted to the fact that it says 450 on.
I
the
did
scale.
A couple jokes on it. I thought that was enough. And he goes, but when you're on a scale like, you sure your whole act should be that?
I mean, this wasn't my idea, man. Yeah. I didn't want to do this. Okay.
Yeah. Well, now it says 800. Yeah. Someone fell on it back here. That ain't me. He goes, you sure I don't see anything up there? You don't know.
Yeah. Oh, that was an old trick. This is the funnest thing in the, when you're a high school wrestler, your life is dependent and on what you weigh, and you're just trying to make weight. And, you know, you'd have a guy that would, you know, just cutting weight all day, and you'd get on the scale and you'd sneak up behind him and put your foot on the scale.
It was to freak him out.
You see like the sheer panic in his face.
Just and, being like, oh no.
Yeah. And it's like one of those things like a squirt gun or what, like when it's so funny, unless it's happening to you.
Yeah.
It's not funny at all. Yeah. You know?
In that movie, is it Foxtrot?
Foxcatcher.
He has to lose.
I haven't seen it yet, so don't.
Yeah. Oh, well, he has to lose 12, like 12 pounds.
Oh, dead gummit. You ruined the whole
thing. Yeah, now.
Is it even worth watching?
No, not now.
Not now. The whole thing is about the weight loss.
Yeah.
It's a little gummit Bates. I don't know. Now. Just tell me the whole thing, I guess.
He has to lose like 12 pounds in 30 minutes or something, right? To make weight.
I don't remember. I mean, I did 9.5 in 2 hours one time at the Nationals, but.
And how'd you do it?
Just water weight. But you can't do it now. Some of the rules, like back then, we just put on those like sauna suits. Mm.
Do you spit a lot?
No, that's kind of like rookie stuff. In high school, it's like rookie, like amateur stuff. We'd seal off a shower, put all the showers on, you get ride a bike. You can't run because it's too hard. It zaps all your strength. So you would go in for like flights. We did it to, the Scorpions live album, we had it down to a science. Like you would do like the first two songs, then you'd go sit out a song, then you'd go back in.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
That's cool. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. I would, if they might come to that San Diego show.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. We'll be in touch, and I'd love to meet you guys. That's so crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. Kayla Byram. 95% of the reason this podcast is so great is due to the relationship between you three. Could you please tell us how y'all met? The age difference between Batman and Aaron makes me curious on how this happened. Well, I think you were, you know.
You're the 5%, Greg. That's how much you matter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I have we not said when we met?
I feel like we have.
I think when I met. I met you a long time ago. I don't know.
Yeah, just in comedy.
Just doing comedy at Zany's. I was already doing it. I've been doing comedy for 19 years. Almost. It'll be 20 next year, obviously.
You were living in New York.
What about the next year?
I don't know.
We'll see.
That's where it gets
tricky.
Might
be 22. I might skip. I might go backwards. I don't know. I'll decide. I'll decide how old I look. And I'll be like, I've been about 14 years. What have you been doing, 15?
Yeah, 15.
Yeah. So I was already like, I was in New York. When we met, I was in New York, and I was around that.
You come home a lot for holidays and stuff. Big Vandy fans.
Yeah, yeah. Did Zany's and would pop in. But I was in the thick of New York, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, like, I was doing
And
spots.
I go see you in New York. You were talking about how New York sports bars, there's one for every team.
Yeah.
I went to a Titans bar. I thought it was the greatest thing ever. I wanted to talk to everybody in there because I thought we all had this no one cared.
Yeah,
I'm going up to people, hey, buddy. You know, because my mind, everyone's from Nashville. No one was. They just, you know, like a guy had a Nashville Sounds hat on, and I sit next to him to try to talk to him about the sounds.
Yeah.
Just doesn't care at all.
Yeah,
not at all.
He goes, what about that picture we just got? He's like, I don't know why you would talk to me, sir. Yeah.
It was true.
Cardinal Bar was a lot nicer, man.
The Cardinals bar.
Yeah, everybody's a lot
more. Willie McGee was my favorite player because he played for the Nashville Sounds.
Mm. He did.
Yeah,
That's probably my favorite player too, man.
Wow, that's cool.
How about that?
Different generation.
Yours, you liked him because he played Major League Baseball, and you liked him because he was in AAA.
Double A at the time.
Double A.
Nashville was not a AAA town at that time.
I saw him early. Willie McGee probably doesn't remember playing for the Sounds.
Brian got his autograph when he was in high school. Brian and I met just at open mics around town. I think.
It's all through comedy. It's not.
It's not a small. You'll notice it's a very small world.
Yeah,
comedy is.
Yeah, yeah. We all just randomly. You end up knowing the people usually before you meet them, and then you just meet them.
Yeah.
And the age difference. They know.
Yeah, we ain't going to be hanging out.
I heard once somebody said, the difference between comic and non-comic is bigger than the age difference.
Oh, I think so. But yeah.
I don't know if I worded that pretty poorly.
No, but. I think he's older than me. And it's like, but it's like, I've always felt an older comic than him just because I've done it longer than him.
Uh-huh.
And I was in New York. So it's like, I go by your age doesn't even really matter.
Yeah.
Like it's your years that you're in comedy. You're just off comedy years. It's like the age is kind of like, who cares? And it's like, well, I've been doing it 20 years and you're like, oh, he's only doing it 10. You're like, wow, that's crazy. Yeah. And then, so like, yeah, that is very, very true. I only judge something by the years and the respect you could give someone is almost like everybody above you is like, there's just a little, you kind of just, there's a lot more respect giving above because it feels like you're elders, even though I could be the same age as half these people.
Oh yeah.
Or something. But you're like, no, you've been around for a long time. You've done like, there's just respect that you have, mm-hmm. you know, and then under you don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that with like,
this is the opposite. I should show me respect shows zero. Respect. None. That's what I'm trying to, the message is to Brian. Maybe show the guys that have been doing it a little bit longer. An ounce of more, a little head, just a little nod to the cap every now and again.
I don't think you got it.
I don't think you got it.
I remember figuring out Hedberg was, that looks great. Yeah. Hedberg was like a year younger than me, like Mitch Hedberg. And I was
Wow.
What? No, he's like.
Well, you're much older than him now. So.
Yeah.
Aaron, could you not?
What are you talking about?
He's dead.
You didn't hear it? He's died.
No, I know he died.
Okay.
That's the point. He's much older than him now.
I get it.
Do you?
Not everything's a home run, Nate.
Should you be.
Show some respect for him.
Show some respect. I'm the elder.
You got a good batting average for sure. But,
yeah.
You know,
I'm an elder.
Sometimes it bounces off the fifth.
Solid. I'm on base.
You're on base. That's for sure.
I set up later on for later on in the game. When stuff happens.
Now I'm up to bat.
Brian's going
to
get the RBI right here.
Now Brian's going to get hit by a pitch.
That's my goal.
Yeah.
Lead into the strike zone, Brian.
Coach tells him to.
Yeah.
Who's up next? Bates? All right.
Crowd the plate.
Just please let him get hit.
Yeah. Remember, stay into the front of the white line. Get all up in there.
Not your elbow, your head. Yeah. Put your head in there.
Just turn your back. You're not even looking at the ball. You're just got your eyes closed, expecting the hit.
What? Every
time. Oh, golly. Every time. Yeah. Just, you had to get, did you get hit by a lot of pitches?
No, because I was so scared of the ball. I was standing at the back of the batter's box.
I did that too. Yeah. Yeah, I would do that. Sometimes you'd get to that. Especially when they started throwing harder. It was, I would get to that.
Well, that thing you did with Sonny Gray, I don't think I could do that.
Oh, yeah, Sonny.
Did you hit off him?
No, we went down to Vanderbilt, and it was when they were about to get, like, before last season, so he was getting ready to go. And so Sonny was like, just staying in there so I can have, like, a body that's, like, staying there. I didn't have a bat or anything. And I'm like, Sonny, how do you feel amazing, dude? And he goes, I was like, because if you feel even a little – like, I don't know. Yeah. You know, I was like, I don't want to be a part of this.
Because you're not wearing a helmet, right?
Also, I'm not wearing it.
Some context, leads the major leagues in wild pitches.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. So. Oh, yeah.
He does?
Yeah. So he's not Greg. He's great. He's not Greg Maddux. Like, he throws really hard. And
Does he? Did he throw balls. A curve where it looked like it was going to hit you?
He threw. No, I mean, there was nothing. I mean, I was standing. I mean, I trusted in the middle. But it was Coach Stallings. I'm blanking on his first name.
Brandon?
No, his son.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was. He's a catcher. He catches for the Pirates. I know him. I'm for some reason blanking on his name right now. And then, but he was catching because they then and so they were just like pitching and they're it's Stallings.
Last name Stallings.
Yeah. And then so
Jacob Stallings.
Yeah. Yeah, what are you like? Nah, it's his other son. Hey, gummit, you know? It's Jacob Stallings. And so, great guy. And then he, huge, 6'5".
That was a guy that was catching?
He was catching.
Wow.
And then they, so I, yeah, I just, I mean, threw it in, like, I mean, it was wild. I remember I told Mike Yastrzemski, I'm friends with him too.
He yeah. He guy just ruined my day yesterday. He just hit a home run off the Cardinals in the eighth inning.
Into the water.
Yeah,
in the water.
Yeah, in the water.
Crushed
it. He hit one the other day. I asked him to, because we were trying to meet up when I was in LA, and he was under, like, he ended up getting under COVID restrictions or something, so I didn't get to see him. But so we were texting. I told him, all right, he's going out to the game. I was like, well, hit a home run. I was like, for me and your baby. He just had him and his wife had a baby, and they and he goes and he hit one. He texts me that he goes, well, I'm glad I did. And I was texting him, I guess, as the game was starting, and then he hit a home run.
Wow!
And I was like, that's crazy, that's fun.
Did he go to Vandy?
Yeah,
wow. Yeah.
And then so he, but I remember because they during COVID, they would go up there and practice and hit, they'd go to like a high school. I mean, it was like, you know, like, I mean, Sonny's out there pitching. Yastrzemski's batting. Mookie Betts was out there. I mean, it's all these local guys. And they would all get together. And, like, Stallings, like, and all the Vandy guys. And, but I said, I was, you know, Sonny would always, he's like, come out there. He's like, he goes, you know, take, like, some bad practice. And I told Yaz, he was like, yeah, you can. I go, these pitchers ain't going to hit me. And he goes, no, just come out and it'll be great. You take some hit. I was like, Sonny said he'd do it, and Yaz goes, he goes, you know, he's like, if anybody is going to hit you, I mean, it's probably going to be Sonny, but no, none of them are going to hit you, but like, ooh, I don't know if I'd go, he's just a true worry, and it, like, he's like, I don't, maybe it's not worth it, dude, like, I don't, you know, you're not missing anything. All right. Rachel McLaughlin. I've just passed all my CPA exams, and while Brian and Nate seem to have real accountants, Aaron seems like he may need some help. I'm afraid he's been paying a lot of penalties and interest for not paying quarterly or filing on time.
Whew. I mean, there's a good chance I'm doing that, but the good folks at TurboTax got it under control. I got audit control. Audit insurance.
So if they audit you, get,
what does that mean?
I don't know.
You're back. I don't know. You're just happened. Buying. I'm you're just, buying. What's the
they
saying?
They just upsold me. I'm just
empty bag of something. I don't know. What's this? You're buying an empty bag of corn.
It felt like that. Empty bag of corn.
Truebill.
Is it empty or does it have corn in it?
No, you think it does, but it's empty.
Oh, okay.
But isn't there a saying that something
sounds
like that?
Sounds right. Man, I hadn't heard that one. It sounds like a folksy Midwestern saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. From buying our generation.
Empty sack of corn. It's probably, there's a saying like that.
All right, I'm going to look that up.
Corn salesman comes to your door, and you all take it all. You open it.
Do you pay quarterly, Greg?
Pay for corn?
I do.
Do you like corn?
Yeah. And I, you know, I buy some corn here and there.
Yeah. Yeah, let's make sure we get into how everybody does their taxes. Oh, God.
It's a simple question.
Man,
we've already covered
that's
it.
That's the RBI triple right there. Yeah.
That was not...
That's right.
I mean, that it just immediately somehow he gets, there's only me and him out there, but somehow there's three outs. You're like, well, how'd that happen? And he's just a triple play. You go, well, Brian, he got two of them around him. Ben Rosser, would you rather murder at Madison Square Garden for an entire weekend or shoot a 100 at Augusta National with a foursome of your choosing? Who would the foursome include? It'd murder at Madison Square Garden for an entire weekend. I mean, that's, you know, that's your career. I mean, shoot 100.
Yeah, I was going to say, can you do like that?
I think I could shoot 100 there. I'd imagine I could shoot 100. But, yeah.
That's 36, though.
Oh, no. Yeah. If I can shoot that, look, if it's over the week, if it's 2 days,
yeah,
and I shoot 100 in total in those 2 days, I'll take that over the murder.
That's a legend.
I mean, you're talked about forever.
You're a legend.
Yeah. Yeah. You can go do Madison Square Garden for the rest of your life.
Yeah. You could do Madison Square Garden, just the guy talking about shooting 100 over 2 days.
Shoot a 50-50?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. How would you break it up? I'd almost be like, I would want like a, you shoot like a
40 on the front 70, side.
30. Yeah. Like, you know.
Yeah.
And they're like, what?
Nate shot a 40. Yeah. He got a little cocky on the second
you
day.
You almost can't even break it up. 50-50 would be, you know.
It'd be crazy.
Yeah. I'd want to
Maybe you shoot par the first round.
I'd want to give me 72. Give me 53.
72
and then 28.
Yeah. Give me 53-47. I don't want it to look fake. No, I don't want to say it's 50-50. I want to go 53-47. You're like, and then
like Kim Jong Un.
Yeah.
Or man, we were. I was in Myrtle Beach last week and we played this mini golf course, and they said that Jim Kelly, the quarterback for the Bills, had the course record, and it was 18.
Oh wow.
Which is
been a hole in one on every hole.
Was it nine holes?
Yeah, no, it was 18. Maybe it was 22.
Maybe it was 9 holes.
No, it was an 18. No, I played all 18, man.
Yeah.
There's no way. Three.
Maybe it was like 25. It was something where he was hitting.
He got a birdie.
He had to have an ace like every, you know, like he had two aces and then, you know, a two and then two aces and two or something.
I think you bought an empty sack of corn.
Yeah, I did, man.
I think you did with that story.
Yeah.
This thing come in pretty good. Tom Miles, my 7-year-old has taken interest in telling jokes, but as I'm sure you're aware, 7-year-olds have a hard time being funny when they're trying to be.
Timing.
My timing in some sentences are like, what? Like, what is it even, as you're doing it, you're like, what am I doing, dude? It's a regular sentence. It's not like a special. We're not introducing a king. When he's not thinking about it and just talking, he's hilarious. But when he tries to tell a joke, he always bombs. I was wondering if you had any tips for a real young, funny guy that might help him out. I would say just keep being funny the way he's being funny.
Yeah, this guy describes. It sounds like all my family members describing my early career in comedy. Like, yeah, he's just when he tries, he's just not that good.
It's not, it would be, just be funny the way you're funny. And then, you know what? Tell him to be like, start thinking about why you're funny. Maybe that'd be good.
Yeah.
Like, why are you funny? Because then maybe it would help you figure out a joke. If you go, well, what's making you, you know, what do you think it is that makes you so funny?
I got that advice earlier. Yeah. This guy, Ron, said, you know, however you're funny around your friends or your family, that's probably the guy that you need to be on stage.
Yes. Yeah. So you want to be you. So just keep being you and then figure out, just keep being you. And you're already funny. People are laughing. And then, you know, also if he does something funny to, like, you know, his parents, also do, try to do it to a different group. Try to do that same funny to a different crowd. And don't tell the crowd, your parents, they don't need it. Tell your parents, don't tell them that I'm going to do this, but I'm going to try to do that thing that I did that made y'all laugh. And then when he goes and tries it, like saying, like, then it's like, you're going to see, and it might not go good, but you're going to at least be able to tell, okay, why did that not go good? I did something different with this time and this time.
No? Maybe.
No, Greg.
Maybe
disagrees.
Not put a lot of pressure on the kid at 7.
If he wants to stand a chance, Greg.
I give him a couple.
Does he want to make it?
You're right, man. You're right. These guys are getting better younger.
There's no pressure. Just be funny. I started to be funny. I was trying to give him one thing to try.
You had him. You were giving him test audiences.
I go, let me do something right now. Don't get caught up in that crowd work game. Tom, come on.
Yeah,
Tom, you got to be putting out content.
Content. You're better than that, Tom.
You cut it. You cut 5 minutes out of his act.
Yeah, yeah. I go, Tom. You're looking at. You tell me you got 3 minutes. I think you got 40 seconds.
It's a funny bit, but you're relying on it too much.
Yeah. Basically, me and Greg are saying, Tom, just let me and Greg open for you when you become.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, we'd appreciate it.
I'll send you a couple of clips.
Though. Yeah. Jared Charman. But it's not like
Charman.
Charman.
Toilet paper.
No, well, how would you say it?
That's Showerman.
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 But not spelled like shower.
No.
After, does anybody, you don't think it'd be like Showerman? Everybody goes, Shower man? And he goes, no, it's Schaueer. Oh. Sorry, I thought I was talking to a guy that came from money.
The Charmin. He's in this heir to the Charmin fortune.
No, I think it's the guy that invented showers.
It's a superhero.
Jared Showerman. It's the shower family that invented all showers. After listening to the ketchup debate, I decided to check the label on my peanut butter jar. The label clearly states no refrigeration necessary. But because my parents always refrigerated the peanut butter after opening it, I couldn't quite pull the trigger on moving an open jar of peanut butter into the pantry. I remember laughing at the words when I read them, like open jar of peanut and I think it's over, and then butter. After that, it was like, well, I didn't see that word coming. And then I'm like, into the pantry. I'm like, I thought we were done.
That's because you're at the end of the line, then you had to jump all the way back to the left.
It is true. Typewriters.
And I go, whoa, God, what we got over here? Is-
you got to go open jar of peanut, stop. Butter into the pantry.
And I walk on over to the other side. I think that's a, I think I'm prepared for it to be the period to be after moving on an open jar of peanut butter, and then it's over. And so then maybe I'm getting shocked by the into the pantry. And I'm like, I didn't know we were going to keep going.
It's a little more on the end.
It's a little more on the end that you go, I wasn't prepared.
Right.
I need to see where that period's at before I commit. I convinced myself it was the peanut butter company trying to make the product go bad more quickly so that you would have to buy more. Back into the fridge it went. Does anyone else refrigerate their peanut butter? Or am I just a lunatic? Lunatic?
Greg?
I do not refrigerate my peanut
butter. Peanut butter today.
My mom did when we were kids, though.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I need to come. I did sell peanut butter for 10 years, so I know a little bit about it.
Wait,
yes.
Yeah.
Wait, you've talked about this.
Yeah.
I knew that's true. Yeah. So, you know, what do you think about it? You sold peanut butter?
Door to door?
No, man, I didn't go door to door. When in your life
are you a lunatic?
Have you ever seen the peanut butter guy coming door to door?
It's from a different time, man. I don't know if that used to happen.
Here comes the Jeff man.
How old do you think I am?
Would you go, man?
Was you and the milkman? Is it like UPS, FedEx now? Where y'all would see each other. And y'all go eat, and you're like, that's cool, man. Y'all are friends in real life, though? You're like, yeah, dude. I go, that's cool, man.
Yeah, with him. But I was Jif, the Peter Pan guy. I was not friends with him.
Well, the jelly people, you're almost like jelly, because maybe peanut butter seems like it would have came first.
Kind of kissing up to them. Yeah,
yes. Yeah. Oh, you think jelly's, yeah, you know, that's where the, even though you are, you're like, peanut butter would be like, we're the staple, we're true to what we are.
Yeah.
And then jelly, you're like, I don't love jelly. I think jelly's flashy and all this other stuff. But they're moving.
Yeah.
It's the future.
Yeah.
So it's either be friends with them or don't.
Get out of the game. Yeah, get out of the game. You're not going to change the game.
You're not going to change the game.
You met a guy that
Jelly's the future?
Yeah.
It changed everything.
It changed the game.
I would imagine peanut butter was first. And it was like, you know, it gets good.
Is that all right?
Oh, no.
I mean,
God, they make you really study when you sell peanut butter, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you know.
People ask these questions.
You don't go selling it.
Yeah. You know what's happening.
Right. You show up at somebody's doorstep, you better know your stuff.
Yeah.
I think nowadays.
There was no doorstep.
It was in a suburb.
Girl Scout cookies or something, man.
Encyclopedias.
Yeah. Come on. I had big accounts.
You tie the horse up to the thing and walk inside.
Kroger. You know, like I, ooh. Yeah.
Ooh.
All right.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. God. My bad, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. You're kind of belittling what I did.
You got to talk Kroger into buying peanut butter. They were an anti peanut butter. Go ahead.
No. Now you sound like my dad.
Okay.
Who was like, I always had a hard time explaining the job. It was a good job.
Yeah.
It was like paid a lot and it was a competitive job to get. But my dad was like, well, you know, you're not really in sales. I'm like, yeah, I am. You know, he's like, well, I've been going to the grocery store for 60 years and they've always had Jif peanut butter.
Yeah.
What do they need you for? It's not about whether they carry it or not. It's about how much they sell to their consumer. And there's all kinds of things, dials and switches I can move to help them sell more. And he'd still be like, Yeah, you're not in sales.
The display and such.
Display's a big display. Well,
shelf
sales.
Placement.
Shelf placement is another. Yeah. Shelf placement is another.
You want to be eye level?
You'd like to be eye level.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd like to be. You like to have a block. You'd like to have a real nice block. I don't know why that's funny, Nate. I'm telling you, this is important stuff here. You know,
he said you liked to be. It's just such a serious. Like, if I felt like I was interviewing to be a peer, I go, so we want to be eye level? You like to be. Don't expect to be eye level.
You're not just going
to
walk in there and be eye level. You're not just going to walk in and say, you're eye level.
Now, I mean, yeah, you're new kid on the block. Don't think you're going to they're gonna try to throw you at the
show
bottom.
Up the first day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I saw it in a lot of different places. I mean, Jif, we were brand leader usually. If you walk into a store today and you see Jif on the bottom shelf, somebody did something to make somebody angry.
Yeah. Okay? Interesting.
Yeah. Now, Pringles, that was a whole, we were, you know.
You sold Pringles too?
Yeah, I sold Pringles.
So you got out of peanut butter.
No, I was saying
they were the same company.
I sold Pringles, Jif, Duncan Hines.
Well, is Pringles considered a potato chip?
It is. You're selling very easy. You're selling things that
it's
are
not easy, Nate.
I mean, I think I'm on your dad's team.
I know.
You're selling stuff that's like, I don't know.
I swear I went through this.
The things that I have to have.
Yeah. I went through this, but I was like,
that's like being like you're selling cocaine.
No,
you're
it
goes pretty good. People really like it. No. And you go, oh, is it hard to do?
No, I had competitors. You go up against Skippy and see how well you do. All right.
Jif is the main.
It
one.
Is the main, but it got there through guys like him. Me.
Boots on the ground.
Boots on the ground.
Yeah. Shoe leather and knuckles.
And now we know who to thank. Yeah.
Okay.
When I started, Jif is spelled with a G.
I remember at one point, I do remember my dad saying this stuff to me, and then I remember at one point thinking, like, you know, I'm not a good enough sales guy to convince my father that I'm actually a sales guy. Yeah.
That's when you're time to retire. You go,
yeah, I was like, yeah, that, I remember having that thought, and I was making good money. And another time, I remember, like, a homeless guy shaking me down for money on the streets and thinking genuinely, like, this guy's a much better salesman. He's got more charm. He's more succinct in the way he approaches it. And
right. I feel like you feel like a peanut butter. Like you would, I wouldn't want him selling peanut butter. I want you selling.
Yeah. Yeah. I had it down. Yeah. I mean, I did some pretty big stuff. Yeah. I mean, one time,
Would you go pick up girls and you're like, you get a little Jif. You give her, hey, you write my number down and you have a Jif pin. And she goes, God. You work for Jif?
I
don't like to talk about it.
Yeah. I do remember one time like
bring my work home
trying to brag about what I did. And you're in that world where it was the Procter & Gamble. It was the company to go work for.
Yeah.
And talking to some girl. And I think she said exactly what Aaron said. She's like, door to door?
No. Yeah. You go, no. No. It's like getting in Montreal. We get in Montreal Comedy Festival.
You tell
your family and they're like, they what?
Yeah.
You're going to Canada?
How much are you getting paid?
Yeah. And you're like, oh, no, I'm paying to go.
I'm
paying to go.
Yeah.
But like, how would you convince them? What's a sales tactic?
Well, I mean, the pure sales tactics, I was never all that good with, like the tricks. But I think you just develop a relationship with a buyer.
You're making sure they're keeping Jif. You make sure that the Kroger's is happy. And then there, because it's like, if you get moved out of that, I mean, you got to think of it. It could be millions of dollars.
He's trying to make me out to be just some maintenance guy. And that's not what I was a sales guy. Yeah. I would go and say, hey, guys, I know you guys are going to have a weekly ad and that tends to drive a lot of volume. Like what, back to school, what's it going to take for me to be the peanut butter for the back to school ad? That drives a ton of business there. Bates.
Oh, I can see it.
Yeah. You're
talking about the guy that still reads that.
Yeah. And you'd like them to display your product. And, you just laugh it up, Aaron. How much peanut butter have you eaten? It's a good product. Guys like me brought it to you.
I was just picturing you like doing this to some kid stock at the shelf. And you walk up.
That's how you start. You start that way. They start you at the store level. And that was.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, man. I had to start in the stores and that was tough.
You went to college and graduated.
I did graduate. And then I'm in a store.
And then you're in a store. Just.
And what was your degree?
Journalism. It's a journalism degree. And I was in the store.
And you want me to pay for your college loan.
I would go there in a company car and you'd go and you have to do these store checks and be like, hey, we got this new item, Simply Jif. It's a little healthy. Low salt, low sugar peanut butter targeted towards diabetics. And here's some of the things here's why I think your consumers will want it. And I just, I'll do the work myself. I'll work it in three facings. We'll put the tags up. It'll be here on Thursday. But I had to work against when you're Pringles, we had to work like Frito-Lay guys all had money. The Frito-Lay guys, they always had, they were bribing. Yeah. We didn't do that.
Oh, really?
I'd go, when I first went, I was in Houston and I'd go up there to try to sell Pringles display. And this guy, Pat, Continental Foods, he's like, you know, I'd get like two steps. You got any baseball tickets?
Yeah.
Like, no, my company doesn't do that. We have, you know, I can talk to you about a concept about how we can increase your profit margin in the salted snacks category. Frito-Lay gave me baseball tickets. Yeah. They gave me baseball tickets. My son loves baseball. You got baseball? I'm like, I don't have baseball tickets. I think you got them. You just aren't going to get, you give them to the guy downstairs. I mean, I spent a good portion of my time trying to convince this guy.
You don't have baseball tickets.
That I did not have baseball tickets.
Yeah.
He thought I was the best poker player in the world.
Yeah.
That I was just, at some point I was going to be like, you know what, man, I got these baseball tickets. I've been holding out for 18 months, but here, man, you beat me down.
I'm going to be honest with you, I've always had baseball tickets. I've never not had baseball tickets, and they're great baseball tickets. Because I knew it.
You finally beat me down, man.
He goes, I know Frito-Lay's got you up there in the cheap seats. Well, Pringles, we're going to bring you on the field.
Yeah, we're going to, you want batting practice? Yeah.
So Pringles, y'all were more proud of we're selling a product. Frito-Lay is like, and you know what? When you look at the product, it looks like that. Frito-Lay looks like a chip that would be like, they don't play by the rules. They get they get swirly. They get, you know, they can throw barbecue on. They have all these kind of different kind of things. It's like a very basic chip. That's like, you're just like making your own thing up out of like the same kind of chip. And Pringles,
is that even considered a potato chip, Pringles?
Well, technically, we're a crisp. It's an extrusion process that you can't call it. It was a court case in 1975. We can't call them potato chips.
Yeah.
They're crisps.
But the Frito-Lay guys.
And you were there that day. You had to argue for that.
I was not.
Greg, so what? When you
I was seven, man.
Greg,
how old do you guys
he
think?
He covered it with his journalism.
He thinks I'm out selling door to door with a briefcase with Beaver Cleaver's dad. And you think I'm at a court case.
I usually get all this, so I'm so glad you're here.
Son,
this makes me feel so happy.
Greg, your son is seven from your second wife. And now you're in the a car debate with the Pringles and the chip people.
No. And I don't want to
stop me when I'm wrong, Greg.
I know you have a lot of advertisers on this podcast, and I don't want to take a shot and stop me, but Frito-Lay, they're bullies. Okay. Like they were
Frito-Lay.
Okay, good. Yeah. All right. They were bullies, man. They pushed us around. And what Frito-Lay, we focus more on the consumer, so we put a lot of our money into a good TV copy and good advertising. You didn't see a lot of Pringles ads back in the day, and the consumer would sort of pull it through the system. Whereas Frito-Lay, they put their money into baseball tickets and shell. Yeah. You know, we're going to give you going to give you $500 if you give us that shell space.
When you saw when Doritos came out, were you like, I just got to get out?
I was
like, is that like were they when the Doritos,
when Doritos came out? I was a kid and I was thrilled. Okay,
the Dorito game stepped up. Where you go, I can't do this anymore. And they were out there smoking cigarettes. And they're just handing kids Doritos over the playground. You're like, they shouldn't even be hanging out that close to the kids. That's how I feel. Doritos,
no, man.
Is Doritos like that?
I mean, I'm not that old. I know. I do remember. I was working in the main office in Cincinnati. I had worked my way up, through the sales, and they put me into an assignment in the big office. And somebody sent me. One of our reps sent me. Frito-Lay was running a test market. Of those things that look just like Pringles, stacks, I think they're called.
Yeah.
I was the first one in the company to like see them, and I remember taking them down the hall. I don't know why that's funny, man. I mean, this is important.
I love important the drama stuff. Of all this.
It is dramatic.
I'm into it.
Of dollars involved here, Aaron. Yeah. This is a big deal.
There's no irony here, man. I'm into it.
Yeah.
I mean, I got those stacks and I took them down to the general manager who didn't even know who I was. And I mean, but I was like a celebrity for the next week.
You just come in and take your hat off and you walk in and you go, how you doing? I go, War Dog? He goes, yeah, War Dog here. He goes, I do over there at the, in between Johnson and Smith Street. I'm right down I'm that Kroger right there on that corner and that Walgreens across the street. Anyway, I just had.
Yeah, man. Frito-Lay. We went.
I like to picture you too. Someone comes in. Which the first time you heard about Bugle. What's those chips called?
Bugles.
So first time you tell me if this is true.
Okay.
So guy comes in. Your first reaction to it, he goes, Greg, War Dog, did you hear about the Bugle? You go, the what? Was that your first reaction? You couldn't believe that they were being made.
Oh, once again, I was a child and they were already there. I will tell you, Bugles, we were like sort of the in the reject group together. So you have your chips that are delivered directly to the store with trucks, yeah. Okay, like Frito-Lay trucks, the bag chips, because they can't go through the system because they're going to get beat up because they're bags and right. They get smashed. Then you have what they call warehouse snacks. And that was like the dork aisle. They sort of shoved us all. If you notice, like you had the chip, like just aisles full of chips. And then you got this one aisle full of all the dorks, like Pringles and Combos and Bugles, Goldfish, all that. So we were in, it's called the warehouse snack aisle. Now, we were kind of the king of the dork aisle. Like we were the main player over there by far. But you still were kind of felt like, you know, second class citizen.
Wait, who was the first class citizens? Like the
Frito-Lay guys, oh, like the bag yeah. chips.
Owned by Pepsi.
Oh, bag
right?
chips. Oh, because you're in a can. Like
we
a
would ship,
can.
Like we would ship our product to Kroger's warehouse. Yeah. And then Kroger would send it out on Kroger trucks with the rest of the groceries. Whereas Frito-Lay, they had their own trucks and they just delivered. Yeah. So they're in there every day with baseball tickets. Yeah. It's all partying. Hey, Frito, Paul's here. Paul's here. Yeah.
Walking in, just throwing chips at kids, hitting them in the face.
Yeah.
We have too many of them. Don't worry, you know. And just
it's kind of how it was, man.
Was it hard to sell the can over the bag? Like, did people, they go, I want the bag. And well, you're like, well, we have a can.
Well, I mean, our advertising.
Oh, you have
them. Oh, you got some, right?
How
there,
do you
man.
Have these?
I'm just good.
Did you just bring these? Or you knew he did this?
I've got a few things down here. Oh, okay.
Bates, I was, I was part of the team. I was there when we launched Salt and Vinegar. We launched it with Pizzalicious.
Hold on. I want to get...
This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Save big money in your next painting project now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect finish for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and get your painting project started today. Save big.
I liked watching you watch. You liked it. You
are we questioning it?
You like an ad read?
I thought it was solid.
Yeah, it was solid. He did.
I thought it was. You got a little cocky at the end when you threw the paper.
I did. Didn't care for that. A little old school. Didn't care for that.
Yeah,
I didn't understand
care for
that.
Yeah, you act like you've been there.
I get that.
That's the kind of confidence I would have brought into Kroger trying to, you know, if I would have
sell these guys.
That's right.
Yeah, man. So Pringles, salt and vinegar. I mean,
the ultimate daily snack.
Right? The ultimate. So you,
I was there when we brought it out.
The ground floor.
Yeah, I gotta admit that came out with Pizzalicious, and they sort of had salt and vinegar slated. They thought that would be the big hit.
Pizzalicious was Pringles.
Pizzalicious.
So
Pringles.
They came out with both.
Yeah, at the same time.
I think I would have liked. I think I still would like Pizzalicious.
Pizzalicious crushed it.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Had a picture of a slice of pizza on there. Yeah, that's a great great product with the kids. We underestimated how well Pizzalicious. Yeah.
Now Greg, let me ask you this. For a product like this that's going to be a hit with the kids, do you try to put that on the bottom shelf in the grocery store?
You know, it's a good point. No. I mean, you want the block. I mean, what you're looking for with Pringles is a 4-foot top to bottom block. And you know, back in the old days, they'd have the bag chips, right? Picture all the bag chips. And then we would be on the bottom shelf, like where you couldn't even see us, basically.
Where you keep like a bleach.
Yeah, dusty down there and stuff. Yeah. But then
it's like going under someone's sink and you're like, but there's some good chips under there. And you're like, well, you're not supposed to drink anything under
this. Yeah.
And that's what it felt like.
Dead bugs. It did feel like that. Yeah. Yeah. But then, you know, we started going in selling a reset of the section saying, hey, what if we went top to bottom with the Pringles and here's some of the you know, we sold with a lot of data. You know, we got some data that says when they do
analytics.
That, yeah, a lot of analytics.
Old school.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. We say, hey, you know, your category, your salted snack category is going to go up 30% in margin. And
y'all are like the Moneyball chip. Like y'all were.
Yeah.
You're like Moneyball in baseball. Like,
yeah.
You're the first ones to use analytics.
There's rich companies and there's poor companies.
Yeah, there's
50 feet of crap. Yeah. And then there's Pringles.
Wait a minute, man. No. We weren't that. We were a
good. Was Pizzalicious a big deal for y'all?
Pizzalicious slated right in at like a number 5 in our flavor lineup. Here's the thing, and it's a secret. The red can original red can that you're doing about 80% of the volume in that red can. I don't know what's funny about this. I mean, this is important stuff. It's
number 5 in the flavor lineup.
Yeah.
They
probably had it slated in a 9 when they probably thought it was coming in at a 9. You had red can original is 80% of the business.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you had, what we called right crisp. Couldn't call it light. We did call it light, and then they said we couldn't because it wasn't low fat enough back then. So we had to call it right crisp. It was in a silver can. That was usually the number 2.
So y'all didn't think about making the chip healthier. You just said, we'll just change the name a little bit.
I mean, it was healthier.
Yeah,
it was healthier. I agree. Just not enough. Yeah,
not enough. When's it? I
still think it was a smart choice. I mean, and then the green can sour cream and onion. That's a solid flavor. And then Cheez-Ums. Yeah. Cheez-Ums was probably a number of 4. And I'll tell you, I lose sleep over it even today. We never got the barbecue product right.
Yeah.
We never got our fair share of the barbecue business.
And that's,
we didn't. And that's a huge deal in chips.
I go barbecue a lot. Yeah. I go barbecue probably the most I would go of something.
And it's Lay's barbecue, right?
Do you eat barbecue Pringles?
Yeah. No.
You don't?
No. That's true.
That's on us, man.
That is on us.
That's not on you. That's not
the
on
fact
you.
That you guys own.
Yeah,
I mean,
you
I will,
own up to it.
Yeah. You own up to it. I will go do more. Your barbecue Pringles.
Yeah,
out of the because I know you're trying.
Yeah, we tried, man. Yeah. We tried, and we also tried to get into the tortilla chip.
Yeah,
you know
how you go fit a triangle into a circular thing.
Well, we had a triangle can. It was a test market. It was called Tarangos, and Tarangos. Man, it was a very expensive product. I think you were paying like $6 for a can of Tarangos, and it tasted good, but that thing did not get off the ground.
Yeah,
Tarangos was a horrible failure.
Such a good triangle.
There it is. There's Tarangos. Yeah. There's Tarangos.
It just never took off. Look who sneaks up in the bottom. Fritos. No matter what you type in.
Oh, yeah.
Pringles, Tarangos. Yeah,
see that internet search right there? There's baseball tickets involved in that.
Yeah.
Somebody at Google got some free baseball tickets.
I agree. Fritos, you're cheating all the time. Like, it makes me dead gum. Yet. But those ones that are the squirrely ones or the twist,
spirals.
Those are unbelievable.
It's a good product. I mean,
It's a good product.
You got to give credit.
Yeah.
It's a good product.
Yeah, you own
it. They're doing good things over there.
They do. Yeah. I mean, I'll say it when it's true.
Yeah.
In the peanut butter business, I don't care for some of those other products.
Yeah.
What about Reese's peanut butter?
Yeah, that one got to me. Okay. And that one.
You got mad at me when I said it.
I've discussed it in my act, and I'll discuss it now.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about Reese's. You know, I don't like Peter Pan and I don't like Skippy.
Yeah,
I don't. And,
absolutely.
But I respect them.
Okay.
They were there for a long time.
Yeah.
Peter Pan was there in the beginning.
Oh,
they
were
the first national brand peanut
butter. Is that a Net
Funicello? Skippy was a Net Funicello.
Okay.
Okay. Skippy was there in the beginning. Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Reese's just jumped in the game. And I'm sure they were thinking, hey, you know, we're peanut butter. We're a candy bar that has peanut butter as a main ingredient. How hard could it be to be just peanut butter? Real hard.
Yeah.
Okay. Real hard.
Yeah.
You're gonna.
When it's not your main focus.
Yeah. You're gonna find out what it's like to stand on your. There's no chocolate to hide behind over here.
Yeah.
We're feeding families in this aisle.
Dude.
Okay. The people are going to work with this product. Okay. You just be a candy bar.
Yeah.
That's what you are.
Yeah.
You don't see Ring Pop trying to get in the jewelry business.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a thing.
Yeah.
It's you know.
It's a prop act.
It's a prop act.
You're hiding behind.
You're right, man. You're right, Nate.
Yeah.
Yeah. This peanut butter.
You're a tribute band. You come out, why don't you write your own songs?
Yeah, exactly.
You can't.
Peanut butter, we're on
you're
our own.
We're writing on someone else's class.
We're right here. We're right here, man. That's all we got. We're happy to do it. Yeah. So yeah. But yeah, I like Freedom. Yeah. I mean, we tried to get in the corn chip business too. Didn't go well. Yeah. I don't know if we had I don't even know what they were called. It was white popcorn flavored Pringles. We had corn flavored Pringles. I'm not going to lie, I had to go pick up some of those. You know, I did. Yeah. No, that's a new one there. That's way, way ahead. I mean, at least you probably won't even find one. No, that's not it. Corn crisp, there they are. Right there. I had to pick up some of that. You know,
Did you have a company car?
I had a company car.
You walk out like a guy carrying, like, you know, an architecture, like has all those long things out.
Yeah,
those long tubes.
You want to be defeated. Yeah, because the store's like, hey, man.
You just throw it in the back of your truck.
Yeah, it's a bad day. You throw it in the back of your truck, or your car in the trunk. I got a Ford Taurus and a big trunks in there. And yeah, when the store's like, hey, you got to get out of here and get rid of these things, man. They're not selling.
We'll mark them down. They're marked down.
They are marked down.
We're not even, if people steal them, we don't stop them. and they're just not moving.
It's a
tough. We let them, if they steal something, we go, you got to also steal these chips, and they bring the thing they stole back.
It's a tough pill to swallow. It's part of the business, though.
It's part of the business.
Yeah.
It's why you get in it.
It's like a comic. You have a few bad sets, now you own it. Yeah. When you do that, you have to go out there to that store and pick it up. Now it's part of you.
It's made you better.
It makes you now you're a full-time
sales rep.
Anytime
you ever see that, you would just be like,
boy, makes you appreciate the wins more, doesn't it?
It does, man. Yeah. It does.
You see it, you're just like, spend a weekend there 1 month.
Right.
Yeah. Biggest loss I was involved with was, and I'm sure you guys remember this product, it was going to change our whole company, fat-free Pringles with Olestra. It was a fake fat substitute, and we were gonna make billions off of that, and it didn't go well.
You put everything behind it.
Everything, man. Literally.
It didn't go well so much that I don't know what you're talking about. But
look up.
You come from the world of going like you probably gonna know about it. You're like,
well, Lester got a lot of media coverage because they had to put, we had to put a warning on the can about some.
Side effects
with your stomach. Stupid. Yeah, it was
you know,
terrible.
That's time and age now. Can't just eat chips like the old days.
Yeah. It was.
You got to go. Yeah, dude. You're gonna feel it.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Do you know everything about potato chips?
No. I'm not saying that. And I've been out of the game. I'm not gonna lie to you, Brian. I could jump into the chip game. Probably give me 2 weeks, and I'm back there selling chips.
You think quicker than peanut butter?
No, peanut butter was my go.
That was your jam.
You get tomorrow.
Now the one I'll admit that passed me by that is coffee. Like we sold Folgers, and now with all this Keurig stuff, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your price on? You talking about percolator? Talking about auto drip? No, it's Keurig.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what. I don't even know what the price points.
You don't even know.
Yeah.
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 I understand.
Feel old walking down that aisle. Yeah.
We had on here a few months ago. Big debate about what goes in the refrigerator and what can leave out as far as condiments. Ketchup, butter.
I don't think we ever answered. So peanut butter, what do you?
Yeah. I mean, personally, as a consumer, I just don't think if you put it in the refrigerator, it doesn't spread well on the bread. Yeah. It tears your bread.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess if you had like a real, like a seven, like Dave's killer bread or like a 7-grain whole grain toast.
Yeah. That can handle it.
Yeah. That maybe could take that.
Maybe eating off a table.
Yeah. But my mom liked putting it in the refrigerator. You know, obviously I love my mom, that's one of the few things that I don't do.
You disagreed with the way she did the peanut butter. Yeah. You know, y'all fought about it.
Didn't fight about it.
In New York City, y'all fought about it at a bar. Your mom's
sports bar.
What do you mean by peanut butter cold?
When we were in her house, I respected the rules. I'm just saying, at my house,
I feel like your mom came over and there's a little shot at her. She gets peanut butter out. She goes, why is that peanut butter out? You go, I'm not, you do you.
I'm mom doing, is, yeah, I'm a grown man now.
I'm a grown man
yeah,
now.
Yeah. And also, I'd sell this product.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're not supposed to put the bridge.
What about regular butter?
Well, that's got to be, you got to put that in the refrigerator, right?
You would think.
You would think now.
You can store a dairy product out of there for how long?
Up to a month, according to this.
Yeah. And does anybody do that?
Laura keeps ours cold, but it's I mean, when you spread cold, it's like brutal.
It's a nightmare.
I guess it is.
If you're eating butter every morning, if you're eating that much butter, I would leave a stick out. Like if you're like, I'm eat every morning, I have a piece of toast, I put butter on it, I think you leave it out.
If you're eating that much butter, you don't have a lot of time left anyway. So you do whatever you want.
You're not going to make it. That butter's going to make it longer than you are.
Now, I don't know if the difference between this is salted butter has less of a chance of spoiling on the counter than unsalted butter.
That makes sense. Yeah.
I don't even know what butter is salt and what doesn't. I just
usually says it on the.
It says it. I mean, I do some baking, so it's usually the recipe will call for, you know, unsalted or salted butter. That's the only
thing. Did you have some days when you came home and you're just like, throw your jacket against the couch and you're like, these Pringles. Just like these days of going, you know, you're like,
oh, I got beat up, man.
Frito-Lay guys.
Yeah.
He goes, what happened? You got a black eye. You got met those dumb Frito-Lay guys.
Yeah, man.
They don't care about anything.
And the worst was when it was on me.
Yeah.
When I made a mistake, like we ran Crisco 64-ounce oil in an ad at Fiesta Mart. It's this in Houston, Texas. It caters to Hispanics, and it's a giant grocery store. There's like 50 of them.
Yeah.
And I got this ad for, you know, 64-ounce oil.
Yeah.
And the warehouse that they pulled from ran out, and it was my fault. And I had to go home.
Because you read the ad.
Because I ran the ad, and I was also the one calling on the warehouse, and they had – some goofy numbers in there that I was supposed to keep my eye on.
Yeah.
It wasn't real inventory. Yeah. And I just looked at it as real inventory. Yeah. And they told me these are goofy numbers. And I just took my eye off the ball. And, you know, they ran that and they probably substituted my competitor. They probably gave him Wesson instead. And it could have been a career making moment. And and I ate that one.
That was on you.
There's nobody to blame on that one but me. I screwed it up.
War dog. Yeah. Made a mistake.
It was awful. Yeah. It was a terrible feeling.
And it still keeps you up at night.
Nah, I wouldn't say that. But I mean,
you know, there's a lot of families out there doing Weston. You go, I think you could have brought them over.
Could have been me. Crisco
could. They should be a Crisco family.
Yeah.
They're not.
And that at the time, the Puritan was under the Crisco label. So, you know, canola oil.
So what was y'all's main thing? If Pringles and you have all these other things.
Well, here's the thing, man. We were kind of like stepchild division. I mean,
for peanut butter. You're the big dogs.
We were, but within
the company. Peanut butter was with Pringles too?
Yeah. I was the food beverage rep. So we had, you know, all the food beverage. And, for all the divisions, we were the stick because their other divisions were Tide. I mean, you know how much Tide, Downy, Charmin, Bounty, Crest, Pampers.
So those people look down.
They
look down on you.
Old Spice.
They kind of did. And those guys kind of pushed them around.
Yeah.
And they took it out on us.
Yeah.
You know, because we weren't the big deal.
Yeah.
And now Duncan Hines, that was a brand I had.
What is Duncan Hines?
Cake mix.
Oh.
What is Duncan Hines?
I just bought a cake. I don't know. So this is all.
This is a Procter & Gamble brands right here.
I thought Procter & Gamble was like an insurance company. I thought I heard about it. I had no idea what Procter & Gamble was.
You recognize some of those brands, Nate?
Yeah, they're doing a great job.
I mean, yeah.
I thought Procter & Gamble was like something, one of those things that happened on Wall Street where they got all the money, they stole the money from them, and you're like
Goldman Sachs.
Yeah, no, you're like no. Procter and Gamble,
P&G, those crooks.
Are you kidding me, dude?
Everything, and I don't even know. Tide's not even on there, and that's the biggest brand. Tide is like a Fortune 50 company by itself. Tide's huge.
So if you, I mean, so you're selling, would you have wanted to get to the Tide? Or it's hard to get up there. You don't want all the way.
I didn't want to be in there. I was proud to be where I was, and I was passionate about it.
Proud of what you do.
And the company doesn't even have those brands anymore. They're all spun off. It's sort of.
Oh, Head and Shoulders.
Yeah, wow. Love's was not us. Love's isn't us.
So it's interesting. So when it shows you this, it's like Procter & Gamble's like thing. Yeah, food's not even really on there because it's just food's not. It's, I remember working for, when I worked for FedEx, and you would say, who's your, like, I was like, oh, is our competition, like, UPS.
Yeah.
And our post, and they're like, no. Like, I mean, it was either UPS or the post, they're like, they're so far ahead that, you're like, we can't even.
FedEx get,
like,
was? Or
yeah, it, no, it, no. They were above FedEx. Like,
UPS ones?
I think so. Really? I think it was like it was like they're just they've been around, I think, forever or something. Yeah. And it was like there's just so much. I think that's what it was. And then it was like DHL was like coming. It was new.
I remember them.
There.
Yeah.
So you heard about DHL and you heard about the, you know, I was on FedEx trucks. I was in New York delivering FedEx.
Were you?
Yeah. And you see the DHL guys show up in their yellow shirts or something. You're like, oh, you know, these guys just ringing all the doorbells, just trying to get in.
Wannabes. Yeah.
Wannabes.
Yeah.
They weren't us. I agree. I took pride on it.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
They're close. They seem close
now.
I want to say maybe it's the post, maybe it's the regular postal service too. Was like did a lot of
The USPS.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they do some business, man. Yeah.
Did you sell jellies or jams?
No, we never got into that business. However, Jif is currently owned by Smucker's.
Smucker's came in.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So, I mean,
now you're in it. Not a bad group to get together with.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's borderline monopoly.
That is true.
If they get a hold of bread, I
mean, yeah, we're in big trouble. Yeah.
So those are real companies, but then it's a dynasty.
What's that?
That would be a dynasty, right? Yeah. Like a monopoly.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Then you start going, looking at Tide and you go,
have to break it up.
Where would you be catching Tide? You get bread, peanut butter, and jelly.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Tide's big, man. Procter & Gamble's huge. I mean, some of those health and beauty brands, like Crest. I mean, Crest is a monster. Scope, they had Crest and Scope, man.
Procter & Gamble did?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Always.
Yeah, well, they have everything. Yeah.
Olay.
Head and Shoulders.
NyQuil.
Bounty and Gillette. Sherman. Bounty and Sherman are monsters, but I mean, the one that I'm not, Pampers. Pampers. I'm sure you're figuring that out. And we used to get, like, a lot of free product, you know, the new stuff. So the guy, anybody in the, like on our team that had a newborn, the paper guy would take care of him and give him.
Oh,
like,
that's awesome.
Give him like Pampers for the next,
So no baseball tickets, but.
Well, but I mean, for themselves.
We take care of each other.
Yeah, we take care of each other.
We take care of each other at Procter & Gamble, which is why we're where we're at and where you're at. I like Procter & Gamble.
It's a good company. They make all those products.
He thought they were an investment firm. Now you're like, I'm on board.
People can learn, man. That's what this whole thing's about.
It's about learning. All right. I'm gonna try to get a job there. I thought Procter & Gamble was bad. Turns out it's my favorite thing.
Oh, look at this. Yeah, man.
They got Dawn. They got Pantene.
Yeah, Pantene. Pantene.
They got Tide, and they also have Gain because they're doing so good that they go, we might as well throw another one in.
Gain is a little bit of trickery in my book. It's very aromatic. Like there's a lot of sort of perfume put in Gain.
Oh, it's probably like one of the ex-wives, maybe. You know, you feel like one of the, I don't know who, Procter or Gamble, but someone is, you know, someone goes, well, I want to make my own. He goes, go make your
just
own.
Do it.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Maybe a kid. He's like, just make your own. I
see
it what Gain. You're saying. They go, Gain's fine.
I seriously like a producer whose girlfriend wants to be in a movie or
and,
something.
Okay. And he's like, you know, Dr. Procter, Mr. Gamble, just Dr. don't Dr. even.
Yeah.
They're like, they go, Gain, you know, they go, I don't even know how much we got, and it's $1 billion company. Let me tell you something. And they go, that's the least one that matters, and it's $1 billion.
Yeah, yeah.
And
Pantene, that's the one that they started showing, like, apparently why that took off is they showed the commercials with, like, vitamins going in people's hair.
Yeah,
then it just went through. People thought they were getting vitamins in their hair.
Yeah, it did look not? Like that.
Yeah.
Seinfeld episode.
What? Oh, really?
Kramer's the girl Jerry was dating, and then Kramer fell in love with her.
Yeah.
He's like, I smell Pantene.
Yeah. Yeah. I do remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So I don't understand. Procter & Gamble, they own all these companies?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why do they need Procter & Gamble?
They don't. That's why Nate really didn't know what it was. Mm. They kind of that name is sort of stepped back. They're more about their brands. But yeah, they own all those brands.
Yeah. They're the creator of all those brands.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unilever is the other big one, right?
Unilever is a competitor.
Okay.
Yeah, Unilever is a Dutch company.
So is Procter & Gamble a two people or something?
Started in the soap and candle business back in the 1800s.
So it's just two guys make soap and candles.
Yeah.
And then slowly just went into like, and their company gets so big that they're like, let's try food.
Yeah.
And they're just like crushing it.
Yeah. Now some of them like Pringles, I believe they created.
Yeah.
But then like a GIF, I believe they created, then a couple of brands they bought.
Yeah.
You know, they buy and sell brands too. Like yeah. Gillette up there, they bought that brand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They didn't create it.
That's very interesting. Yeah. I had no idea what proper.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, I mean, they got, it's one of the most probably powerful.
Giant company. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They run everything. They can just stop and
yeah. It's, yeah.
Pepsi's another one like that.
Pepsi,
right?
Owns,
Pepsi owns Frito-Lay.
And I'm a Pepsi guy.
Yeah,
but that
really
that, yeah, I'm a Pepsi. You think I'm a Coke guy? I think I would appreciate the Coke people more. But
yeah,
I think
culturally,
I'm a Coke guy in my heart.
Because you're just a you know a Southerner.
Yeah,
and greatest average American.
And then yeah. Greatest average American. And I can definitely see Frito-Lay and Pepsi getting together because you're like,
oh, they are, man.
You know, it's a lot. I think when you go out with them, you're like, it's a lot.
Well, you know, when you, you know, when we found out that they were trying to go after Pringles with yeah. that Stax business, which, by the way, it's still out there. It hadn't
never
us.
Caught on.
Yeah. But what we did is, and I went down there with my friend Tim Snyder and this guy Will from the brand. We all went out to Cedar Rapids, Iowa, which was where the test market is. And we went to the Coke guys. The Coke distributor, like, hey, man, these guys are trying to, you know, mess with us. What can we do to get together and scare them a little bit?
Yeah.
And we started running all these promotions just to send a message, like, we're not going to go down easy on this.
Wow.
Like, we ran, like, all crazy promotions. And those one of those guys, Roger, who ran the Coke distribution over there, he's still like my buddy. He comes to shows.
Man. Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah, Roger still comes to shows.
And y'all put a little warning shot.
We
Pepsi
did,
and Frito.
And we weren't supposed to. You're not supposed to mess with test markets.
Yeah.
It's sort of an agreement. But this guy Fernando, who was in charge of the brand, was like, "I don't care, what? Because the test market people, we pay them a ton of money to run test markets. He's like, what are they going to do? Not take our money? Do whatever you want down there.
Yeah.
And we sent a message, man. I mean,
in test markets, so you're running commercials that only they see and food that only they.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's at the grocery stores. Like you act like it's everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
But a test market. So people could move specifically and they're like, oh, I'm in a test market.
Yeah. I mean, Peoria was the.
Would you move there for the, I mean.
You hear that they're rolling out some new flavors of Pringles and you move the family there.
No, I'm just saying.
You know, you got
but if you know, like if Cedar Rapids, I was a big test market, I mean, I think you could have some fun.
Yeah, you would. You would. There, and like I can't
you're
remember.
Trying everything.
I don't know what the IRI, it's IRI is the company. I don't know what their test markets are. There's one up in. Back in the day, there was one up in New England. I can't remember where they were. I think CR was one of them. And that was, yeah, man. I mean, I remember we rented the world's largest barbecue pit and we just went to a grocery store and handed out free barbecue sandwiches with every Coke. If you bought Coke and Pringles together, just
sent. I mean, you got to imagine if you live in Cedar Rapids, like you would think you're part of the culture.
Yeah.
Your city dictates
what everybody else
is going to do.
Pittsfield, Mass.
I did a show there once.
Pittsfield, Mass is a giant IRI test market. Yeah. I remember that for some reason.
Is it like one grocery store? Is it all?
No, it's all the stores. Yeah. It's everything. All the convenience stores, everything.
So
media.
If you want... So like if someone's like, so if you ever drive, if you're live in Pittsfield or if you're driving through Pittsfield, it's like, go stop at the grocery store. You're going to see some stuff that.
Oh yeah, yeah. Man. You'll see some stuff. Yeah. You'll see stuff that you'll see Tarangos and nobody else will ever see them, you know?
Yeah. Wow. Oh, wow. Pittsfield, Massachusetts, where I did my show and lost $500.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I talked about it. I'll tell you about it later, but I've told it.
So you said you could get back in the Jif game today.
I think so.
There's 9 different kinds of Jif peanut butter.
Yeah, man, they got some garbage going now.
I was going to say,
I can tell you, the creamy is the big one, and the creamy outsells crunchy 4 or 5 to 1.
Does it really?
Wow, I like crunchy too.
Yeah,
crunchy.
Do they cost the same?
They do. They do.
Really?
Yeah, they do.
I would think.
I mean, I've talked about this a little bit in my act. I've discussed. Yeah. I never felt good about that because if you think about it, the crunchy. We didn't finish making that.
Yeah.
You know, like that's, there's less labor that goes.
It should be cheaper.
It should be cheaper. And crunchy, you know, of course you got crunchy, Simply Jif, which I talked about. That's I think that's only in creamy these days.
Yeah.
Reduce fat Jif.
You're nailing it. That's 4.
Reduce fat Jif. Now these were the products that I dealt with. Okay.
Okay.
Now today
the way you say
the kids
it.
Today.
I mean, I love the way you say it. You, yeah, these are the products I dealt with.
Okay. Now today there's, yeah, you know, they have a honey roasted Jif, yep, I think at this, yep, point. They have a,
you know what they're doing.
Like you always keep up with it. You keep, I'm not going to say I don't walk by the aisle. The grocery store is my life for 10 years. I'm not going to just walk by that, you know? You,
no, yeah, I respect that.
Yeah.
No, I mean, yeah. You're aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
Do you wish you lived in a test market?
I think it would be pretty fun.
Yeah.
I think you, like you said,
you would know.
You would see some stuff,
yeah,
that you'd never seen before.
Yeah.
I still remember, man, there's this one comic, JP Madison. He's one of those guys. He was so funny, naturally, yeah, funny in Cincinnati when I was working at Procter & Gamble. And JP, man, the guy just at the time did not have a nickel, just had no money, mm-hmm, no money. And, but he's one of those guys that, like, he had so much confidence. And, he's one of those guys that you're like, I think he may be famous, man. You know, like mm-hmm, he always had it figured out. But I remember I had this product called Pop'ems. It was like a corn snack, and it was like the little Mr. Pringle man in the shape of, like, it was kind of going at Fritos, okay? And I don't know if I see him on there. No, okay, they didn't make it out of test market. I guess. Okay. Okay. But I had a bunch of them. I was like, yeah, JP doesn't have a lot of money. You know, he's just always, yeah, struggling. So I go, hey, man, you know, we were driving to a gig or something. I gave him some. He's like, Greg, these things ain't going to sell. I was like, truly, the guy the guy had no money. I was loaning money. These things ain't going to sell, Greg. Yeah, yeah.
He knows.
Yeah, yeah, he knew, man. Oh, he knew. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, Nate said that you could leave ketchup out. You don't have to put it in the refrigerator.
I don't put ketchup in the refrigerator.
Yeah, I don't really eat ketchup.
He's right. I looked it up. You can leave it out for up to a month. You can leave mustard out for up to 2 months.
Really?
We leave ketchup out way longer than a month.
Yeah.
We leave it out the whole time.
I mean, I'm a mustard fan. Man, yeah. Yeah.
I got to break out these props.
Oh, look at that. Yeah. Oh,
my wife ordered this for me. Just for this. So do you guys know the best way to pour ketchup?
I do.
Upside down, preferably?
No.
Right on the 57. You say it,
you do
tap
that.
Tap the 57.
All right, what do you think?
I know. The best way to pour ketchup?
Yeah.
You just bung.
No, you hit the 57.
Yeah. No, you hit. I'll show you. You hit these 57s.
Mm-hmm.
You
those
hit the numbers. So you go like this, and you hit that number. You don't tap that. That's a label,
mm-hmm,
Greg. You don't. You go. That's
is that right?
He's right.
Yeah.
You man. Go,
you why go, are you pouring ketchup so delicately? Like you're.
Well, no, it makes it come out.
It comes out fast.
It comes out faster and comes. I'm getting,
is this
points
a problem in y'all's
yeah
lives?
No, because we're not gorillas. Just like. You're going to shatter the bottle and you go, you can't
shatter
ever.
Shatter the bottle.
Let me tell you something. You do it like this. If you hit a ketchup bottle from the bottom, it's going up and down. And if it shoots out the wrong time, your white tux ruined.
Yeah.
So yeah. If anybody has a glass bottle, if you ever go to a diner.
Man,
these,
I didn't know that.
You hit wow it with your
that's perfect
hand right on the 57s yep and it just.
Do you know there was right never up 57 varieties?
Yeah, I do know that really now.
The guy like basically. He Hines, yeah, he was at a shoe store in New York, and it said 21 varieties of shoes, and he thought that sounded cool, so he said we're gonna have 57 varieties
of ketchup.
Yeah, and there never was
50. I mean, has there been like eight?
It says 57 varieties.
Yeah.
It. Yeah, yeah.
Has there ever been even a lot of so varieties?
I don't think so.
You know, yeah. Joe DiMaggio when he hit 56 games in a row,
yeah,
hitting streak.
Yeah,
Hines 57 said, if you get to 57, we'll give you a ton of money, and we'll do this big ad campaign around 57.
He jinxed him, man.
He ended at 56.
That's probably, he might have did it on purpose.
How many did Ripken, or no, that was,
he did game he did started.
Games.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
Hines, 2,131.
Yeah. Pete Rose break DiMaggio's record?
No, nobody's.
Nobody.
Nobody's
he has
really
the most in the
close
National League, okay, like 44.
Okay.
There was a TikTok video, a couple of TikTok videos showing the proper way to dip fries in ketchup packets. Mm-hmm. Do you know this?
No.
No.
Do you have that? That
maybe let me see the packet. I think I know. Oh, I
yeah, let's see.
No, I don't know. Well, you
see if
you
intuition just, kicks in.
If is it you just tear it here and then you like just do that?
No,
then I'm wrong. Then I don't know. So we're looking at like if you're just listening, we're looking at. I mean, obviously packets of ketchup. Someone's this is a guy driving a car and he's like, I don't even know what's happening anymore. Yeah. I always act like we're talking about real complicated things.
Yeah.
And the audience is like, yeah, dude, I can ballpark it. Like there's not a globe yeah in there. Yeah.
Well contextually.
Look, yeah.
Yeah.
Looks like it may not be loading. So is it up?
Yeah, yeah. It just took a second.
Oh.
Oh,
you've got a French fry hack right here.
Yeah. All right. Just what do you do?
That guy's out of Cleveland.
Drive-through.
Yeah.
We taught her to take the ketchup packet and tear it down this way.
Oh. Okay?
And then when you open the packet,
Tear it down the side.
Tear it down the side, and then it opens up as a little pouch.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm going to trust anybody whose fingernails are painted like watermelons.
You ever put mustard on watermelon? Mustard on watermelon.
Really?
Yeah.
Those are two things that I really enjoy.
Yeah, but not together.
Is it bad?
This was a trend on TikTok to put mustard on watermelon. Everybody says it's amazing.
Yeah.
Really?
Something about
that's it. I give it a while. Kids are bored and they're.
Yeah.
I mean, and they're like, well, try it. It's unbelievable. And there's a conversation piece, and you're like, it's 1 year of college ruined.
I'd never heard.
That's basically what happens. And then now they're sophomores. And you're like, what was freshman you got? We did the watermelon thing.
Watermelon challenge.
I did a watermelon thing, did dance. I got on my moving car, did dance. And then I ate watermelon mustard. And then I was a sophomore. And then we did a bunch of stuff when I was a sophomore. I figured out AI could write my paper. I was just home. I just did a bunch of stuff on after that.
I'd never heard. Apparently, this is a thing that Wendy's fries and
fries in the Frosty.
I've heard of that.
I do that.
Yeah. You do?
Yeah.
It's great.
It's great.
Everyone just discovers organically. You know, you got the fry, you get the Frosty. You're like, let's
I think I heard rumblings.
Oh, really?
I think I heard about it. I was, maybe on the wrong side of the tracks.
Hanging out with the wrong crowd?
Yeah. And I didn't want my parents to find out I knew about it.
Yeah.
I was like, I heard about it in church. That's what I said.
That's the thing, man.
There I go.
Well, I guess it's okay if you heard about it in church.
Yeah.
So, Greg, we're big Vandy fans. Is it true the Vanderbilt Commodore invented the potato chip?
Ooh.
No. Oh, yeah. Here's what happened. It's not true, but the story goes that in Saratoga, there was this restaurant. It was a something house or something like that. And apparently the Commodore, Mr. Vanderbilt, was there. And he said he ordered French fries and they brought out steak fries. And he said, I'll make them thinner. And they sent it back to this guy. And he's like, all right. And he cut them in half. And he went out there and he goes, make them thinner. And then he's like, nope. And that time when he sent him back, the guy got mad and he fried those. He took the thinnest shaving of potato he could, deep fried it in oil and oversalted it, sent it back to the Commodore. And he was like, yeah, this is good. He did it to make him mad. Like he did it to be like, I'll show you. And the Commodore was like, yeah, these are good. Now here's the thing. The Commodore was in Europe during that summer that this all
so
happened.
It's not true,
it wasn't the Commodore. And there's like three different people. It did happen. Up at that house.
How did you know? Did they let your office know he was out of the office? Did you call? Office? Did you call the office? And he goes, I'm in Europe. And that's why you know for a fact
I'm the same age as Commodore.
I'll be honest with you. I think he's a little younger. I will be honest with you. Greg, I'm going to come up front with him.
Please stay every week. Yeah. I mean, you're really helping me out.
This is just it's not even fathomable. Yeah.
That's what I get every week.
That's I'm not as old as Gloria Vanderbilt. It was his great-great-granddaughter or something like that. I may not be the same age as Anderson Cooper. I mean, who's Gloria Vanderbilt's son.
You don't know where the French fry are?
It came from that area, but there's probably – it's Moon's Roadhouse or something like that.
Yeah.
But it probably came from that restaurant, and it may have been that cook's sister – and then there's another cook across town. It came from that generally. Now, the guy that they said that did that to the Commodore, he probably did it to somebody, just not the Commodore. And that guy kind of took chips to another level because he opened his own place and he had chips as appetizers on every – when you walked in, there's a basket of chips on every
– wow.
Yeah.
And so that guy became rich.
Yeah, he did pretty well for himself. Although he was like the first celebrity chef apparently in the U.S., wow. And there's some, it's kind of like a little hazy because if you look like in his eulogy, they barely mentioned potato chips. And there's like later the story became he was the potato chip king.
Yeah.
They were called Saratoga chips because it was in Saratoga Springs, New York, where this something happened up there.
Yeah.
Now there was some British guy that in a cookbook, 100 years before that, listed something that looked a whole lot like potato chips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Sure.
You just posted a video about Dippin' Dots.
Yeah.
They were invented in 1988. The reason they haven't taken off is because you have to freeze them so cold. They have to be 40 degrees below zero, and grocery stores just don't have
ice cream.
Dry ice. You have to have dry ice for it.
Well, you got to be 40 degrees below zero, whatever that
only
takes.
Only sporting events and concerts that I remember them ever being available.
But that, but they should do it. Dippin' Dots should do. I love Dippin' Dots.
That's
so
a great
much.
Product.
Great product. And I thought, I mean, they Dippin' Dots is my product that I thought when I first saw them, I go, get, well, move over ice cream. You look ridiculous now because this is the future of ice cream, which they said, and I bought. Sink, Line,
he
and
said
Hooker.
It for like 30 years.
I was in though.
You'd have,
I was,
you'd have bought stocks in them. If
oh,
you could.
If I even knew what stocks, I still don't know what they are, but I would do it. And I loved them so much. And I still do. I think they're so great. When I see them, they're at Bucky's. When every time I see them, I grab them. And
But I mean, we drove by Bucky's yesterday.
Yeah.
Biggest
yeah.
thing I've ever seen.
Yeah,
you gotta
huge.
Go, man.
And so every time I see Dippin' Dots, I always buy some. I think they commented on my Instagram maybe or something, but I'm a giant Dippin' Dots fan.
Yeah, it's a good product.
And it's, I think they could be, it's when they get frozen like together, you really need them in the tub to be kind of mixed up a little bit. And then when they get put in, it's better. Like I feel like when they're in a small thing, like they're the best out of the tub that they come in. Mm-hmm. And so it's really a product that's made to be sold at
live
sporting
events.
But I think they should step that up a notch, and they should really be like, well, y'all need to really be everywhere, and you need to, I think Dippin' Dots should have me go in and go, you don't want me, ice cream gets melty, it gets stuck, like it's falling all over the place.
Yeah.
This is not what we do at Dippin' Dots, you know?
Yeah.
And I think I would be a good spokesperson.
I mean, I'd like to be part of that with you. Cause I mean, that's with Pringles, man, we were saying, hey, you know, you get your hand in that bag, you're going to get greasy.
Yeah,
you know, and the portability is why the can is the big deal. You can take it anywhere.
Anywhere.
The same thing here. I don't like a soupy ice cream.
Yeah,
it makes me sick.
Yeah.
So
I like it.
Yeah.
Well, we should do that.
Yeah, I'd like to be part
Dippin'
of that.
Dots. If you need me and Greg, I mean, one guy.
You've got the
super
connections.
Experiences.
Yeah,
I'm not saying
he
I
was
can.
There the day the fry got invented. And
again, man, I just think you're a little off on some of my age.
I don't know how much though, but it's. I think me and you would be a great team for Dippin' Dots.
Yeah, I'd like to be part of
it. We know how to get stuff working.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm not saying I have probably a lot of the guys that I was calling on are out of the business, but I do have. I know,
like Morty Seinfeld. Selling raincoats?
Yeah, selling raincoats. Yeah. We're still selling. All right. We got to go. This is a quick one. Thank you, everybody.
We'll be in Woodstock, Georgia, May 26th.
May 26th. Chattanooga, Austin, Cleveland, Indianapolis.
Wow.
Come see me.
Yeah. Go look at Aaron Weber's website. See AI biography.
Yeah.
We're going to change it up.
What's that? Hilarities in June.
Man, that's a cool place.
Yeah,
it's good.
That is a great
place. It's good. Big club. It's an awesome club. And check out Greg Warren.
Yeah.
His website's got all the dates. Again, super funny. Yeah, great to have you, buddy.
Yeah, thanks guys. This is a ball, man.
Yeah. All right, we love you. Thank you very much, everybody. See ya. Nate Land is produced by Nate Land Productions and by me, Nate Bargatze, and my wife, Laura, on the All Things Comedy Network. Recording and editing for the show is done by Genovations Media. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to catch us next week on the Nate Land Podcast.
This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details. Brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card. With Saver, you earn unlimited 3% cash back on dining, entertainment, and at grocery stores. That's unlimited cash back on ordering takeout from home, or unlimited cash back on tickets to concerts and games. So grab a bite, grab a seat, and earn unlimited 3% cash back with the Saver Card. Capital One. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.